Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Excuse my little hoarse voice, but if you had my travel schedule, you wouldn't even be able to speak. Last week, we came from Yellowstone. Now we've crisscrossed the country twice. And if you want to know where we are, get out your maps, boys and girls. 38 degrees, 53 minutes north. 77 degrees, 2 minutes west. We are in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and coming to you from the Washington Hilton. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. I've been coming to this hotel longer than I care to even admit. And it's gone through many, many major transformations, but it's never been less than an iconic hotel. I remember coming here 25 years ago to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They have it every year, and it's an opportunity for everybody. It used to be a totally off-the-record dinner, and then this year they actually televised it on CNN and C-SPAN, and it should have been off the record because, well, actually, at least one of the entertainers wasn't good. Jay Leno, embarrassing, sad. He called in the material. He was reading from index cards. Obama, on the other hand, he rocked. He actually had great material written by a good friend of mine, by the way, who is the head writer for The Daily Show. So it was a lot of fun. In any case, if you're coming to Washington, you can't miss this hotel. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but lots of stuff to talk about in the news. First and foremost, the Department of Transportation is slowly but surely getting their act together in terms of protecting passengers. I got good news and bad news. The good news is if you get bumped off an oversold flight under a new proposal, you'll get up to $650 in cash compensation for short delays and up to $1,300 for longer ones. And the interesting thing is, it's cash. Up until now, and this is under the proposed rule, up until now, they'd only give you a voucher good for basically a discount off your next abused flight. And now you can actually ask for cash. Whoa, airlines are not going to be happy to part with that because those are hard dollars. But why is this rule going into effect? Because more and more passengers are being bumped. And why is that? Simple law of supply and demand. The airlines have shrunk. They've parked over 800 planes in the desert in New Mexico, Arizona, and California. That is roughly the equivalent of taking one complete U.S. major airline out of business entirely. So you have fewer planes, fewer flights, fewer seats. And yet it's summer and more people are traveling. It's coming back, which means you better take that first flight of the day or get to the airport at least 3 hours early to get your boarding pass because you could easily get bumped. Now, there's a silver lining here. How about if you want to get bumped? How about if you don't really need to take that flight? Well, then they start the auction. They ask you if you want to willingly, voluntarily give up your seat and take a later flight. They'll give you up to X number of dollars. Now, here's my advice. Don't get up. Because if nobody gets up, the ante just went up. And you stay there, and you stay there, and you stay there. And I love to tell this story because it's true. I was on a flight not too long ago where the ante got up to $1,300. I figured, you know what? I'm standing up, and I got trampled. I never made it. It just, that's what happened. So bottom line is we've got some new rules coming in if they basically kick in, but at least it's proposed by the DOT, and that's a good sign. Remember when I told you a couple of weeks ago that every time you have a big airline merger and the airlines then, you know, had this wonderful proclamation that they're the largest airline in the world? Yeah, they're the largest airline in the world for about 15 minutes, and then they start to shrink because the only way airlines survive these days is by getting smaller. Well, for those folks listening to the show in Cincinnati, you already know what I'm about to tell you. Delta Airlines is cutting even more routes at Cincinnati, once one of the largest hubs for that carrier. They are basically, by September 7th, you're going to see substantial cuts. Think about this. They used to have 600 flights a day out of Cincinnati. By October, it'll be down to 200. So, and by the way, if you think the Cincinnati airport's in Ohio, you're wrong. It's in northern Kentucky, but that's another story. In any case, A lot of people are going to be disenfranchised by this, and you know what's going to happen with fewer flights out of Cincinnati. Airfares are going to go where? Skyward. So something else to think about. Here's one little good news, though. We've talked about this before, but it's really catching on. What's one of the most negative touch points for travelers? It's the airlines that charge you to check your bags, and almost every airline's doing that now except for Southwest. Here's the fun part. If you book your flight to Las Vegas on Vegas.com, you'll get up to $25 bag in a rebate. They're going to give you back what you paid to check your bags. How about that as an incentive to go to gamble that money away? But at least it's a nice touch, and they should be commended for it. Let's go right to the phones. We got Jim on the phone. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Peter. Mr. Travel, I always enjoy your cruise specials. I love seeing those ships and wish I was aboard some of those beauties that you go on.
Well, listen, I don't go on them very often. I don't go on them very long. I can't spend 2 weeks on a ship to find out if the food's any good. I'm just on for 2 days. But when you go, I want you to take the full 7 days, okay, Jim?
Well, here's my question, though. But I'll start off by making it a baseball question or a Super Bowl question. When you buy a ticket for the World Series, $1,000, and you pay for it, that's your seat. If you can't go or don't want to go because of cold or weather, your flu or whatever, you can give it to your son, your daughter, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin. They can go and enjoy the game. If they're caught outside hawking the ticket, well, maybe there's a fine involved. Now, you buy your ticket, your cabin, you pay for it well in advance, and I know they have a cancellation policy, I know they have a refund policy, and, of course, you can buy the insurance, which is extremely expensive. So my point is, why isn't that my cabin?
You know what? You ask a very important point, and it should be. However, here's the difference. The World Series ticket has a face value of, let's say, $500, just for the sake of our discussion, okay?
Okay.
And everybody pays that amount of money. We're not talking about the black market. We're talking about what people can pay for that ticket. There are probably 35 different fares for that cruise cabin, just like there are probably 34 different rates for a hotel room, et cetera. And the hotels want to protect the integrity of those rates, just as the cruise guys do. And, of course, they want to retain the revenue. And they don't want anybody else out there speculating in a black market commodities exchange, if you will, on the cost of that cabin. And that's one of the reasons why they play that game. And lately they've been able to get away with it because they can claim it's a security issue that it has to match the name on the ticket. That's how they get away with it. What's even worse than that, though, is if you're traveling by yourself, paying the dreaded solo supplement. And you know about that too, Jim, don't you? At least that's coming to an end because one of the new ships coming online is called the Norwegian Epic. It starts sailing out of New York in July, and they have 128 cabins now completely built and designed for solo travelers and priced accordingly, so you're no longer paying double. That is a great thing, and they should be commended for that. But on your question, it's a game that the airlines, the cruise lines, and the hotels have been playing for years, and I totally agree with you. It should be your ticket to do with what you want, but it just doesn't work that way. And maybe in the law of supply and demand, it might actually work in your favor in the long run. But right now, Jim, it's not helping you, but I appreciate the call. When we come back, we'll be joined, remember, we're in Washington, D.C., by our good friend Ed Henry. You see him all the time, the senior White House correspondent for CNN. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With RVs starting at just $5,000, taking memorable vacations has never been more affordable. To find out how you can hit the road to adventure, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this June weekend, coming to you from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And one other housekeeping note, there's another compelling reason to go to our website, which, of course, is called petergreenberg.com, because we have a comprehensive list on there of all the relief and aid organizations working so hard to help the people in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course now in the Gulf because of the oil spill. So go to petergreenberg.com. This is not just about texting $10 on your phone, although we all know that the Red Cross has raised more than $41 million that way because of what happened in Haiti. It's also about helping our neighbors now in the Gulf. So again, petergreenberg.com, get that list. You know, it's ironic that I'm coming to you from the Washington Hilton because the last time I saw this guy, our next guest, he was sitting at the head table at the Washington Hilton during the Washington White House the White House Correspondents' Annual Dinner, which is, of course, a legendary dinner here in D.C. every year. But the other reason why I'm having him on the air is because, see, in another lifetime, I want to be him. And the reason why I want to be him is because, yes, I get to fly on every airline around the world, but a number of years ago, when I was covering Ronald Reagan, I got a chance to fly on the best airline in the world, Air Force One. And there's an airline that has no delays. There's an airline that there's no security. There's an airline where nobody makes sure you have your seatbelts on. There's an airline that doesn't have to wait the taxi. In fact, it doesn't even taxi. It just takes off. Am I right, Ed Henry?
Well, you're right. You know, the president likes to say that, you know, it leaves when he's ready. There's no schedule, number one. And number two, they somehow never lose his bags. And
unbelievable.
Commander-in-Chief, I think if someone in the Air Force lost the president's bags, they'd probably be shipped off to another post somewhere.
No, they'd be shipped off to another airline where they can master their craft.
It's a great job. It's great fun. But I got to tell you, you got a pretty fun job yourself, my friend.
I do, but, you know, everybody wants my job. Listen to my voice today. That's a result of dehydration on airlines.
It's a little too much travel sometimes.
Sometimes it's just a little. No, it's never too much. You just have to adjust. But, you know, the interesting thing about Air Force One, and I did a whole history of it, and a very good friend of mine did a one-hour documentary for National Geo about it. It truly is an institution and a legend because the people who work on Air Force One, they don't rotate in and out. They don't just leave when the president leaves and come back with another president. They're lifetime career Air Force guys.
And they put their lives into it. You're absolutely right. And the staff aboard Air Force One are always very nice. One of the little-known facts is, you probably know, but many of your listeners might not, which is that, you know, the staff on Air Force One, the stewards, they basically go and buy their own groceries in the local Washington, D.C. area and bring them on board so that they can prepare special meals for the president, but also his staff and the press corps, and they take great pride in it. And you know, I certainly don't want to disparage any individual airlines or anything like that. I know people sometimes have bad experiences, sometimes they have wonderful experiences, and I think there are a lot of people in the airline industry who take great pride in their work. And I certainly don't want to disparage them, but I think that the people aboard Air Force One take a little extra special pride in what they do. And so, yeah, I remember in the Bush years, they used to cook all kinds of, you know, Texas barbecue sandwiches, and lemonade was always served because Mrs. Bush liked lemonade. Now in the Obama years, we're still kind of working out what the menu is going to be, but every once in a while they're throwing cheeseburgers because the big guy likes cheeseburgers.
Yeah, because he keeps on going to, what, the Five Guys, right?
Yeah, he went to Five Guys with Brian Williams of NBC there early in the first year. He also went to a place called Ray's Hell Burger because there's a Ray's Steaks, R-A-Y-apostrophe-S, that's very famous in Virginia, just not far from the White House. And some of his aides told him that there's a burger joint that's connected with the steak place. So they play off of the name Ray by saying Ray's Hell. I tell you, it was a very popular burger joint before the president went. And ever since he went, you basically can't get in the door.
Well, you know,
I think that time he took Vice President Biden out for lunch, and they went over to a burger joint. Obviously took the place by storm. And ever since, you can't get a table there. Now, the president was in Buffalo a few weeks back, and he went up to one of the famous wings joints up there. That's one of the fun things sometimes, too, following presidents, again, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. When they decide to go to a restaurant, it not only takes over that restaurant immediately, but from then on, it's forever got the White House stamp of approval on it.
Well, you know, it just begs the question, Ed, since you've been covering the White House now for about 4 years, how much weight have you gained?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes you have to really pace yourself because it's so easy to, when you're traveling, I don't think it's just political journalism travel. I think you probably find this, you know, that throws off your schedule. I remember one time being on Air Force One just a few months ago, and I was coming back from South Korea, and we stopped in Alaska. And because of all the time changes, they served us like four meals. Literally, I'm not exaggerating, four meals. Because when we were taking off, there was dinner, then there was sort of this midnight snack, and then there was breakfast, and then there was lunch. Because we went through so many time zones. And so you've got to pace yourself because, yeah, you can put on the pounds pretty easily.
Now, just for edification purposes, most of the press corps does not fly on Air Force One. It's a press pool.
Yeah, what happens is, you know, like, for example, the television networks, we rotate among the five major TV networks. So one day CNN will be on Air Force One, the next day it'll be Fox, because it goes in alphabetical order. And the rest of the networks and the rest of the reporters who are not in that select pool of reporters will usually fly in a press charter slightly ahead of the president so that we land before he does and we're in place to start doing live shots, et cetera. Now, you may have read in the New York Times a few weeks ago that some of the press charters are going away, and more often we're flying commercial. It was kind of a funny story because some people say, well, who cares? You know, you guys have to fly commercial like the rest of us because the charters are quite convenient. But the major factor driving that is, you know, the economy. Just like any other business, there's probably executives who listen to you a lot because of all the tips you have around the world. A lot of business travelers who maybe used to fly first class, now are flying coach, maybe used to fly charter, now are flying commercial. It's just a fact of life that these charters get very expensive. And in a time of great challenge to the media industry, we can't always afford it.
I've got to tell you, my best recollection of Air Force One is a sensory recollection, and that is when I was flying around with Reagan on the old 707. And I mention the word old because it was already a 15- or 16-year-old plane when I was flying on it. It was the plane that took Nixon to China. It was the plane that that flew, of course, Ford, and it flew Carter, and then it flew Reagan. And I couldn't help but remember that the minute I walked on that plane, it still smelled like a brand new plane.
It, you know, they go over everything with a fine-tooth comb, and the bottom line is, you know, this is for the President of the United States. It's the leader of the free world, and I have to tell you, I have flown all around the world, and I've never felt safer than flying on Air Force One, because you know that if the commander-in-chief's on board, you just feel a little bit safer.
The other thing is this, and I finally asked everybody about how old the plane was. They said, this plane is not old at all. You don't go by age, you go by cycles, how many takeoffs and landings. And then they told me the truth, that Reagan plane, that 707, which, by the way, you can visit now at the Reagan Library out in California, that 707 had as many takeoffs and landings in its entire lifetime as one United Airlines 757 has in 6 months.
Wow. Well, I mean, put it this way. President Obama's first year in office, I think we hit 20 countries, the most traveled first-year president in American history. And I only flew on Air Force One a couple of times because of that rotation. Most of the time I flew on a United Airlines charter because they're very often our charter, and I think they do a fine job. And I got so many miles from the first year of the Obama administration that I'm now 1K. I'm not like you. I'm not Global Services or Grand Poobah Gold or whatever you are. But I get little perks here and there. I don't come anywhere close to you, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, an admission from the senior White House correspondent for CNN that he's only doing the job for the mileage.
Yeah, it's not for the money. It's not for the fame. It's for the miles.
Unbelievable.
No, it's always for the journalism. But yeah, it's not a bad side deal, I guess.
Okay, where's your next trip, Ed?
Well, you know, that's what we're trying to find out. Is it's very interesting. I mentioned that the first year, a president, visited 20 countries, and he was, you know, making the speech to the Muslim world, and you know, first voyage to Europe, and he did so much travel. This year is what? It's an election year, and the Democrats are in some trouble, and so the president so far has not really traveled overseas. He's going to be going to Canada. So we'll have a foreign trip in a few weeks. I'm actually not going on that because my next trip is to Las Vegas, where I'm going to get married. And then after that, I'm going to St. Thomas for a very nice honeymoon.
And not only that, he's going to get mileage for that. Ed Henry, the senior White House correspondent for CNN. Ed, thanks again for joining us. And we'll talk to you post-nuptials. I want another report from you, okay? All right, man. And congratulations, by the way. When we come back, stuff in Washington you didn't know about that's off the brochure and you need to know about. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
It's 33 minutes after the hour on this June weekend of 2010, coming to you from the Washington Hilton, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com and we'll solve your problem. Just leave your name, your phone number, and your question, and we'll do it. Every week on the show, we love to ask the locals things that are not in the brochures, and nothing is a better example of that than Washington, D.C., because everybody thinks they know that they want to go see the memorials, they want to go see the monument, they want to go see, you know, the Smithsonian, and of course, I always live at the Air and Space Museum. I can't get enough of that. Not just the one in town, but the one out near Dulles. Unbelievable. But joining me now is somebody who's going to set me straight. She's the executive director of cultural tourism in D.C., and her name, Linda Harper. Hey, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Here's the deal. Most people get a brochure, and they only go by the brochure.
Right.
We're not going to do that today.
You bet.
So within walking distance of the Washington Hilton, tell me something I don't know.
Well, there are Washington Hilton is at a really interesting place in the city because it's where about four different neighborhoods come together. So you can see lots of different things in lots of different areas. I think one of the things that's walkable in what we think of as the Calorama area is certainly the Textile Museum. Very old museum, one most people don't know about. A beautiful museum. They do fabulous exhibits with a lot of the various textiles from all over the world. Great rugs, great cloth work. And so it would be one I would suggest. And it's quite near the Woodrow Wilson House as well, which sort of gives the Washington flavor a bit. We always talk about with cultural tourism DC that we talk about those areas after the comma. So we don't talk much about Washington, but we talk an awful lot about DC.
Sure. You know, there's another museum. Actually, it's a memorial. It's not a museum at all. People just drive by it, don't even know it's existing, to Albert Einstein.
You bet. Well, you haven't been by it lately then, because every high school class in the world has discovered it. It sits in a...
But when I first wrote about it, people looked at me like deer in the headlights because they had no idea.
I had no idea. A couple years ago, there was a major storm, and one of the big trees around it, in front of it went down, and now it's visible.
You're right. There was a tree that used to hide it.
That's right.
It's part of
its
charm.
Well, that tree's gone.
I know.
So every night when I go home, all the buses are parked in front of the Albert Einstein. But the Gandhi Memorial is another beautiful memorial that most people don't know anything about. And it's walkable from here as well.
There's another building in Washington that I've had a chance to go into for events. I don't know if it's open to the public generally. You're going to tell me that answer.
Okay.
But it's the Organization of American States building.
It is open to the public. They do a number of receptions
there. It's so
there.
Beautiful.
They also have a beautiful garden in the back and a beautiful museum in the back as well, which is sort of a best-kept secret. Because you go into this beautiful building for the American States building, but directly behind it is a fabulous museum that most people don't know about, and it is open to the public as well.
Like so many kids on the East Coast, I remember my first trip. My first trip was getting on a bus in my junior high school and going to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And we saw all, you know, we saw the monuments, we saw the memorials, and then we did something that I'll never forget. We took the tour of the FBI building.
Oh, yes.
And they fired a weapon. We saw. Now, I keep getting conflicting reports. Are they still doing the tour or not?
You know, I have to say I don't know because we get the same conflicting reports.
Yeah.
So I think it must be on a timed, either a timed basis or by appointment.
Yeah.
Because I know that people still go there, but it doesn't seem to be readily accessible.
And then, of course, there's the White House tour, which if you know your congressman or you can write a letter, that's a whole lot better to take the tour with that than to just go stand in line.
It is, but you can stand in line and get timed tickets. So that is an opportunity. You need to go early in the morning to do that.
By the way, in life, you need to do everything early in the morning.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, but I want to talk about another memorial,
yeah.
But not one on the mall, but that is in walking distance from the hotel here. And that's the African-American Civil War Memorial, which is a national memorial, over 200,000 names on the memorial. But they chose to put it in the U Street corridor, which is just to the east of the hotel here, and quite walkable. And U Street is gaining a really interesting reputation, sort of a consistent reputation from what it had. It was the largest African-American community in the nation before Harlem, and it really is was all about the music, all about the community, all about Howard University. And so when they looked at where they were going to put the African-American Civil War Memorial, they chose to put it on U Street. And it's one I would recommend people go see as well.
And, you know, I totally agree with you because nobody even knows it's there.
Right.
I mean, they really
no,
don't.
No, no. Even people who live here locally, you were laughing about the president's eating habits a few minutes ago. And while you're on U Street, you can also go to Ben's Chili Bowl, which is another one of the places he's, I won't say he made famous because it was well famous before him, but I think for a while it did actually have the White House housekeeping seal of approval on the door. So you should always go have a Ben's Half Smoke if you're in U Street.
Well, if you want more information about all the stuff that you can't find in most of the brochures, go to our website, petergreenberg.com, because Linda's going to help us with that to get that stuff out there that's not in the brochure.
We'd love to. Thank you very
much. All right,
much.
Linda Harper, the Executive Director of Cultural Tourism DC. Lovely stuff, especially the stuff that you didn't know about. And for those people driving by now, the tree's down. You can discover Albert Einstein. When we come back, we're going to move to Top Chef time. Our good friend Tom Colicchio and what he's going to be doing in Washington, D.C. pretty soon. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Washington Hilton right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, we were just talking with Linda Harper, the Executive Director of Cultural Tourism DC. We're going to shift gears now because there's another iconic museum here in Washington. You might find it also in London and a few other places. And in fact, they have two of the statues here in the lobby of the Washington Hilton, which I'll get to in a second. And of course, that's Madame Tussauds. And joining me now, the general manager is Colin Thomas. Hey, Colin.
Hi, Peter.
Now, I have an admission to make. I have not been to Madame Tussauds since I was about 12 years old. In London, I might add.
That's shocking. Shocking news. You should get down there. We're at...
Of course I should. What the one in London, of course, because you had all the British royalty there. You had all the movie stars there. I remember seeing Winston Churchill, of course. You couldn't miss him. What's the most visited item in your museum here?
It depends
on the most popular.
One of the most popular, I have to say, is the President and the First Lady. So we have the President Obama and we have First Lady. And they are probably the most popular or most photographed figures we have in the attraction at the moment.
Who's the least? Gotcha. Come on.
Interesting. Least popular.
Let's go. And I'm going to make you do it. Let's go down by types, okay? The least popular president photographed.
Least popular. Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, we have so many of them. I don't know which
ones people
aren't
taking. You have so many least
populars? No, we have so many presidents. I'm not sure which ones people aren't taking their photo with. I can tell you for sure, Abraham Lincoln is one of the most photographed presidents we have. We actually recreated a theater box from Ford Theater, so people can actually go.
Don't tell me you shoot
them
from behind.
No, we don't encourage people to.
I had to say that. I had to say that. You open the door. Okay.
But people have the opportunity to go into the theater box, and it's a great photo opportunity. And that's one thing about Madame Tussauds is that sets us apart from some of the other museums, is that we are very interactive. We encourage people to come in, get up close and personal with the figures, put your arm around them, have your photo taken with them.
You can touch them?
You can definitely touch them. Many years ago
you couldn't.
That's right. One thing we do, and it's quite interesting, that Madame Tussaud actually did back 200 years ago. She
Now you just pronounced it Madame Tussaud.
I did.
So wait, so I was incorrect?
Well, it's okay, tell me.
It's
a debate. No, it's a massive debate, actually, with my colleagues here in the States. I am from London. I don't pretend to pronounce tussaud as it should be. I'm not sure, I was okay. It depends where you travel to, I think. But you say it how you want. I don't think she's going to complain. Madame Tussaud was quite keen on listening to visitors and listening to what people wanted in the museum. And we've carried that on today. We asked people who they want, what they want to see, what they want to do. And one of the biggest criticisms we had was ropes and stanchions. People don't want to stand behind ropes and stanchions and see things in glass boxes. So
no, because if you want to see something in glass boxes, go see Mao Zedong's tomb in Beijing or Ho Chi Minh in Hanoi.
Yeah, there you go.
Although I have to tell you, the last time I was seeing Mao Zedong, they had to close. You know why? His ear fell off.
Nice. Well, occasionally our ears fall off, but we fortunately have a studio team based on site that can remedy any issues we have with our wax figures.
Well, that raises the next question. How often do you have to do maintenance?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a few years ago, we did make the decision to take away ropes and stanchions because of what people wanted to see. People wanted to be able to touch the figures. And in London, you know, years ago, when it had the ropes, people just used to climb over and, you know, try and touch the figures. And it was the biggest complaint. So, and since we've done that, we obviously spend a bit more money in repairing the figures, but you know, the experience is so much more in being able to. And you know, if you look at our Facebook pages, the photos that people upload of them with celebrities, you know, are pretty funny.
Who are you working on now?
Well, our biggest thing we're working on, we mix the attraction up. We appeal to all sorts of people. So we when we opened the attraction in 2007, we mixed up the figures. So we have, as we do in all other cities, so we have figures that suit the city, but also, you know, the A-list celebrities that people want to see. People want to see Selena Gomez was our latest unveiling from Wizards of Waverly Place.
Okay, but I got to ask you, it may not be a tactful question, but do you have the entire transformation of Michael Jackson figures?
We do across the brand, but across all of
really?
Our... Really?
You have Michael Jackson as a young boy and Michael Jackson...
That's right. Michael Jackson is one of the most casted figures that we've had. In London, obviously, he sat for his figures. He would come. He actually even bought one of his own figures. So he actually owned a Madame Tussaud wax figure himself. So he loved Madame
Tussaud. You know, I don't even want to go there. That's too weird.
Wow, there you go.
Did he do a wax figure of the monkey too? And of the brain?
No, we didn't. Okay. No monkeys. But okay. But yeah, we've got quite a few Michael Jacksons around the estate. And there's a Michael Jackson figure here in DC. So
I'm shocked.
Yeah, but the biggest thing we're doing at the moment really is opening our President's Gallery. It's full steam ahead on that. So for President's Day in February 2011, we'll be opening a full presidential gallery.
With all of them?
Every single U.S. president. It's actually going to be the only place in the world you can get that close to all of the presidents.
I'll remember that. Next time I'm armed and dangerous.
Come on down.
Colin Thomas, the general manager of Madame Tussaud or Tussaud. You pick the one you like right here in Washington, D.C. When we come back, more from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C., taking your calls at 888-887-3837. Excuse my hoarse voice, I've been living on airplanes. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, of course, you can email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Our next guest is somebody who I normally never see in New York. I see him in Aspen. I see him in California. I see him on TV a lot. Of course, he's on Top Chef. Some people would actually call him the Top Chef. Tom Colicchio. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Excuse my voice, but we'll get through this.
That's fine.
I mean,
so you're at the Washington Hilton. I actually spent about a month there recently.
You spent a month in the Washington Hilton?
Well, yeah, we shot season 7 in Washington, and that's where we were housed. Yeah,
I know that, and it's hard to believe it's season 7, but it's going to be right about Washington D.C., isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
Now, normally, you know, I don't want to be disparaging to Washington, but when we talk about cutting edge food, Washington D.C. didn't always get on the list, did it?
Well, actually, if you think about it, they were so far ahead of the curve with Jean-Louis Paladin, who initially set the course for so many American chefs in this country. So I would say that Washington was really ahead of it at the time.
And then?
Going back 30 years ago. Yeah.
And then?
Well, there are good restaurants there. There's you know, I had some great food when I was there.
Now, by the way, you got some interesting names on this on season 7. You got everybody from Buzz Aldrin, who probably stopped dancing long enough to eat. You got. I'm waiting for you to be a dancer, by the way.
That's not.
You know what?
I reconstructed the knee surgery a year ago. I can't dance.
No, but you know what you can do? You can fish.
That's right.
Now, and you go fishing all the time. I know that for a fact.
I fish as much as I can. It's been a little windy up here in the Northeast the last couple of days, so it's been hard to get out. But you know, striped bass season is in full swing. Starting to pop up, you know, a little bit south of here, so it's looking like it's going to be a good season.
And by the way, Tom, I'm one of those guys born and raised on the East Coast, as you were. I don't believe in catch and release. If I'm going to work that hard for the fish, it's dinner.
Well, you know what? I think it depends on the fish. I'll keep seasonal striped bass. There seems to be plenty around these days, but you know, bluefin tuna, hard to keep them. There's not a whole lot out there. So
tell me,
back on harms.
So tell me, in terms of looking at the array of cutting edge chefs, especially in Washington D.C., what do you like?
In Washington?
Yeah.
Jose Andres is another guy with cutting edge. Jose's a great chef. He has several restaurants in the area. Todd Gray at Equinox does a great job. There's an Indian restaurant there, and I'm forgetting the name.
Oh, I know the name. I know the name. I eat there all the time. Rasika.
Yes, Rasika, yeah. I had a great meal there. I had I'm forgetting the name. I had a 21-course tasting menu at, I think I have early stage Alzheimer's. I can't remember stuff these days.
But you know what? I got to ask you something, Tom. Is there such a thing as too much food? How many courses are you talking about?
Well, there's 24, but they're very, very small. Small little tasting portions, one, two bites gone. And so, yeah, it was great. Why am I drawing a blank? Anyway,
I guess the bottom line, if somebody tells you there's a 21-course tasting menu, I call a stretcher.
No. The thing is, food was very interesting, so, you know, things were coming very quickly, too. And so, I don't think I was really that full when I left. I felt felt pretty good.
And of course, you've got Eric Repair. Eric Repair's got a restaurant over at the Ritz right now.
Eric has a restaurant there. I'm drawing blanks.
Well, you also, on season 7, you even brought in the White House chef, didn't you?
What's that, excuse me?
I said you were even brought in the White House chef.
Sam is the Obama chef. He's not the White House chef. But Sam Cass came in. He made an appearance. Great guy. And he's actually been really instrumental with Michelle in heading up trying to stamp out childhood obesity in this country. In fact, we were just 800, 900 chefs strong as the South Lawn of the White House last Friday. Listening to Todd Gray from Equinox talk about his experience going into the schools and teaching about food and setting up some community gardens with the kids, and listening to Michelle Obama, our first lady, talk about the perils of childhood obesity and ways chefs could help to help end it.
I guess the question for you is there one item that you've taken off the menu or one ingredient you don't use anymore because of that?
No, because I don't, if you look at obesity, especially childhood obesity, it's actually part and parcel with poverty. It's not about overeating. It's not about overindulgence. These are kids, and these are usually kids from meager backgrounds whose family, and I speak from experience mentoring a young girl, my wife and I, food stamps run out halfway through the month.
Hey, Tom, can I put you on hold for 1 second? Tom, the music means you're out of time for this hour. Stay with me. I'm going to bring you right back. We're talking to Tom Colicchio. Of course, Season 7 premieres June 16th of Top Chef. When we come back, more with Tom. Stay with us from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. Back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.